The recording has started.
Yes. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon and good evening, and welcome to the review of all rights protection mechanisms, RPM subteam for Sunrise registrations, held on Friday, the 9th of June at 1400 UTC. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? Thank you. Hearing no names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our chair, Lori Shulman. Please begin.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Today's theme is moving forward. You will see we have up in the Adobe room, we have a new reworked chart. Hopefully, all the columns are on one page. We should be able to see things side by side. And I want to start with just explaining where the changes were and to clean up some confusion over nomenclature, which went back to a May 5th meeting. There was some confusion last week as to what each column meant. So the first column are the original charter questions in their form, not to be changed. This is what the charter says. The subteam recommendations are whether or not to change the question, leave the question, just like we say, a recommendation. If there is a recommendation to change, then, or if there's some clarity that we feel could be achieved, there is a column here that we're calling proposed footnotes or alternative wording. And this is where I believe the confusion lies. And it's possible we can collapse these two columns together to make it even clearer for other people. But what I had been calling footnotes were really notes in this column. We had agreed, and staff very graciously reminded me that in the transcript, we had talked about whether the original footnote should, the original question should actually have a physical footnote at the bottom, and Kathy highlighted that people don't usually follow footnotes and had suggested to the group that we put things side by side, and that's what we did. I, in my mind, had kept calling it a footnote just as a placeholder in my head to let people know that we were segregating what we were suggesting away from the original wording. The comments and discussion were group comments and discussion. If there was more we needed to do, if anybody had anything that didn't fit in the other two columns, you could put it here. I would say it's almost a miscellaneous box. And then the fifth column was the subteam suggestions on data collection. I asked the team last week after the call that if people had recommendations for new wording, if people felt there were important notes to be put into the document, that they actually use the format we've been working with rather than to create a new format, because that would just create another document for people to read when they were used to using a singular format. We also removed the word final from the heading. I think that was also confusing to people where it said final wording or final proposal. Nothing here is final. We're still in a discussion mode. Once we have this workflow arranged in a way that we feel makes sense and that we're ready to move it on to the full RPM review team, then it will be final. So I think that was also creating a little bit of confusion in people's minds. So we looked into the Google Doc yesterday, and we're very pleased to see that Jeremy has added some notes, and Kathy and Christine added their notes. Therefore, this document that we have in front of us is the cumulative effort of the group up until today. So I want to thank the people who've made the contributions to the chart, and Maxime's noted the chart is way better. Yes, I think what had happened was there were just so many iterations of the work that it was creating confusion. And Amr's also reminding people that any recommendation made by this subteam are also subject to agreement by the full working group, which is true. So the only other question I would ask, if people feel that column 2 and column 3 could be collapsed together, I thought column 2 made things a little clearer if there's no change to the question, then there's no change to the question. But if we want to ask further questions, that's where we would use the proposed notes area. And we can maybe, Amr, let's even change that a little to make it more clear and just say proposed notes or alternative wording. Why don't we take the word footnotes even out of there? And then that completely eliminates the footnote issue. So for my part, I was calling this column footnotes, which created some doubts as to what was going on. Okay, so what we can do very quickly is to go through the notes as we have it. Mary's noting from the staff perspective, having a separate column 2 and column 3 makes sense. Does anybody else have an opinion about that? I'm happy to leave it as we have it. I think it's fairly clear, and I will note that Kathy and Christine very graciously put in cross-references where this question may actually relate to other questions. I think this is a helpful feature. I'm just scrolling down now. Now, Amr had color-coded the boxes. And Amr, I'm going to ask you to remind the group why these were color-coded. We discussed it last night, and it's completely out of my head today, and I apologize for that.
Oh, thanks, Laurie. This is Amr. When the subteam first started its work, the first order of business it got to was batching questions where it made sense to answer charter questions together. And when this was done, there was a request, and if I recall correctly, it was Maxim who asked that the questions that are batched together be color-coded. So you will see that questions 2, 3, 8, and 15, I believe, were color-coded together, and a few other questions, 7, 9, and, yeah, just them. Those are color-coded together as well. So the color codes basically represent questions that are batched together. Thank you.
Right. Okay, so if I recall, we were not done with all the questions in terms of what data we need. We stopped at question 14. So we still need to go from 15 to 22 to talk about data requirements. And I'm wondering if that's what we ought to get done today. Let's go through 15 to 22, fill in the data requirements, get all the boxes done, and then we can use the next call to review the entire list with all of the recommendations. People have now had 4 to 5 weeks to look at this chart, put their comments in. We've had extensive discussions on the list. We've had very active participants filling in. I mean, this group is doing very well. And I think with these clarifications on the chart, we could really get some good work done today. And do people agree with that? Like, let's start focusing on what data we need, moving on from, I believe it was section 14, where we stopped. Does that sound reasonable? Hearing no objections. Why don't we get started with that? Because I see the last box that fills in for the data gathering is box 14, and I see nothing is filled in under 15 and below. So these last 7 questions, if we could just talk about what data we think we need. I also want to remind people we had also started talking about timeframes, about questions to be discussed, but I would like to delay that until the next call and just get all the data points in today if we can. Then we will have accomplished a lot. Okay, I will start then with the first question that we're going to review is question 15. What is the relationship between premium pricing and trademark rights? To what extent do premium names correspond to registered trademarks? We had deleted this due to batching. That's why we stopped. Okay. Number 16, further explore use and the types of proof required by the TMCH. We had put a note here for further subteam discussion. But I don't see
I'm not
sure. We had a note here. Yeah, I don't know either.
It seems pretty obvious what we're saying is, right, we want to take a look at the type of evidence that the clearinghouse is accepting as proof of use, correct? Because there's a proof of use requirement in order to obtain a Sunrise registration. And I think I remember early discussions in the main call, in the main group, about some concern that there was sort of a token use going on, like printing up pencils that aren't really sold or putting up a fake web page and that kind of thing. And so people felt like we needed to look at that a little more.
Kathy, right. Can I get in the queue?
Yeah, Maxim's there, and then I'll recognize you, Christine. So let's hear from Maxim, then Christine, and then Mary.
It's Maxim Azoba, for the record. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I hope you hear me. The first item is about proof of use. I think, unfortunately, we cannot distinguish gaming, because we cannot be sure, with the printing of something on 3D printer and selling to the neighbor, and between the small enterprise making prototypes like on Kickstarter and promising a few hundred tokens for the low price to initial investors. And that's why I think we could look into it, but it's slippery slope. So it's hard to distinguish the real guys who are starting business from those who are actually trying to get the main names without venturing into enterprise of any kind. And the second thing is just a side note about one of the previous questions. When we underlined that it's quite hard to understand how many limited period registrations were run, and I think it's the way to grab that data. It's in the each TLD has to upload data for the it's called startup TLD startup page, and it has all the periods. So when registered domains during those dates are checked, you have numbers. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxim. So what would you suggest? I'm going to ask a follow-up question. Is there a specific data point you feel that the RPM team needs to collect that we should be noting? Or is that just an observation about what could be happening?
I suggest this data could be grabbed by means of machines without much of human intervention. I mean that the TLD startup pages could be grabbed for the dates of limited periods, and on each page, if a TLD decided to have any kind of limited periods, it's worth limited. So if TLD startup page contains limited, then they need to check the registrations during those dates. I don't think we need more in-depth information rather than just numbers. Yeah. And
right, and I guess I'm still confused. I'm sorry. I'm just confused about the exact question we would ask. Yeah, I apologize. I understand what you're saying about checking screens against date, but I don't understand the specific question you would be asking us to put into the chart. What specific query would we make?
It's related to the question which contains LPR. I'm on the phone, so I cannot scroll the document well.
Okay.
I guess, could you please add note that, Maxim should be contacted by email so he develops it more in full to present, I sent an email and I sent to the whole group what I meant, because I'm not next to my notebook and I cannot, like, type or doing something rather than, yes.
Okay, Maxim. So we will note in this box, if staff could put in the action items for Maxim to supply the data point or the precise query in box 16. And if it's not box 16, to please let us know which box. Okay? Just Christine, I believe you were next, and then Mary.
Hi there. Hopefully you can hear me. I'm pulling into my garage right now. This is Christine. Very brief comment. I just wanted to note that I believe that this question, the question about the letter, the proof of use, goes to the current working group discussion about the Trademark Clearinghouse generally, not in relationship to Sunrise. The proof of use is required to get into the Trademark Clearinghouse and to obtain your SMD file to start with. What you do with that SMD file later, such as a Sunrise registration, et cetera, is what we're discussing in this working group, I believe. But the question about use goes to before Sunrise. It goes to just entry into the clearinghouse. So I don't think it's an appropriate topic for this working group. Thank you.
Right. It may be out of scope. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
It may be out of scope of the group.
Our group right now. They're talking about the clearinghouse right now.
Okay. Thank you, Christine. Next, we have Mary, then we have Kathy, then we have Jay Scott.
Thanks, Lori. And actually, Christine made one of the points that I was going to make, which was to note that this is a point she had raised before, that this may not be something that is limited or that should be dealt with only by Sunrise. And the second point I was going to raise is somewhat related, which is that, you know, in the recent past, this question of use was actually the subject of working group discussion on the email list at a more general level. So, you know, this may be something that the sub-team needs to consider, that as to whether or not this particular question is something that is of broader applicability and therefore should be brought back to the full working group rather than limited to Sunrise. And the last thing I'll say is that, and this goes actually more to the previous question, Lori, which is that the sub-team does still have outstanding homework in terms of defining what premium names, reserve names, and premium pricing are. Thanks.
Okay, Mary, I'll respond before I call on Kathy and Jay Scott. I do believe that Susan Payne, myself, and I think we might have had a third volunteer. I don't recall Susan Payne's not on the call, but I'll reiterate a call for volunteers on the list. We could put that as an action item. But I do recall there were volunteers, but they might have been spontaneous and not formalized. So my suggestion is let's put a call out on the list as part of the follow-up for volunteers to define those three terms. And then Kathy and Jay Scott.
Hi, Lori. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Okay. On question 16 on use, I think we're in a chicken and egg situation. We're wrapping up the TMCH charter question, so there's really no place to put it back to. The other thing is for those people in the working group, which is a lot who don't live and breathe this every day, this is the context. Use didn't really make sense until we had the context, until we'll be presenting and discussing the context of the Sunrise period. That's when use comes into play. That's why it was created. So I think it makes perfect sense to deal with it here, you know, kind of lower down in the questions, the way Jay Scott has rephrased it, and asking for some of the evidence about use and, you know, whether fake web pages are being used and things like that. I think for the working group as a whole, it will make perfect sense to deal with it here. They'll have the context, they'll have the background of the rest of the Sunrise period and how it's being used. And I think if we refer back to the working group, there's really no more time in the schedule beyond Sunrise, trademark claims, and private protections. After that, we go on to URS. Thanks. So I think it's here or nowhere. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Jay Scott?
Kathy has said a lot of what I wanted to was going to say, but one of the things that I wanted to point out to counterpoint to Christine was the fact that you do not need proof of use to get in the trademark clearinghouse. You only need to supply proof of use if, by submitting into the trademark clearinghouse, you also want to purchase Sunrise registration. And because of that logical tie, proof of use should be dealt with when we talk about Sunrise registration. Just like when we talk about the claims notice, the wording of the claims notice would be talked about in conjunction with the claims notice. So I just think that, you know, as long as we deal with it, it's important, it seems to me, to make the most logical sense here, because the proof of use is tied to this specific remedy. And there has been some concern raised early on, probably 6 to 8 months ago, about possible abuse of what was, I believe, put into the system as a filter to help control abuse. And one of our remits is to look at the way the system is built today and to postulate if it is working as intended, and if not, what adjustments should be made or recommended to the GNSO to correct any thing that's, you know, going awry. That's it.
Thank you. I'm going to respond before I call on Maxine. This would be my suggestion. Kathy has noted abuse of use. I'm not in favor, but the group can discuss whether they want to say. I'm going to offer an alternative to saying abuse of use, because I think that loads it to a presumption of abuse, and I'd like to see the question be neutral. So my suggestion would be we put in column three as a note to enhance this question by saying explore use and the types of proofs required by the TMCH when purchasing domains in the Sunrise period. Let's make it very crystal clear why we are looking at it. So I do believe the question worded that way, Kathy, would capture abuses of use, as you note, but would also capture legitimate use as well, which would be my preference, is to capture both legitimate and abuses. So, Amar, if you could fill that in the chart, or I can go in after the call either way, and say that we note that the clarification here is that use when purchasing domains in the Sunrise period, and leave it at that. Maxime,
Alvoba for the record. Two notes. First, I think since those entities, I'm talking about the abuse of use thing, those entities come into TMCH, and they are going to be used during claims. So it's not limited to Sunrises. It's Sunrises and claims. And the second thing is about definition of reserved domains. It's defined in registry agreements, and actually registries have to follow it. So we could take definition from the registry agreement to simplify our work. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxime. But I don't want to argue. We're moving forward. I would posit that your comment doesn't go to Sunrise, and we're trying to focus here on Sunrise. So you could, if this is important, I would make a note of it, but I think we ought to find the place that it goes. And because we're supposed to be very focused on Sunrise. And this, to me, sounds like a bigger, broader issue than just Sunrise. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's move on to 17. Oh, so from a data perspective, I mean, the data we would ask for is examples. We would need examples. of proper use and improper use, correct?
Yeah, and I would
and
like
Mary
to know,
notes, yeah.
I would also like
yes,
to know, this
it's
is
got,
Scott. I would also like to know, Lori, do they send the proof of use to, if it, I mean, is there a way to challenge the proof of use?
That's a good question, like an examination, and can a third
yeah,
party
so like if,
can a third
if
party
wanted,
challenge?
If I wanted hotel.xyz and somebody has a Sunrise registration for it, is there a method for me to be able to look at the use that was proved so that I can somehow challenge it if it is fraudulent? Because there needs to be some sort of safety valve that a putative registrant that doesn't get the name should have if someone is relying on a representation that they had prior rights in this. So that I just would ask
okay.
that question.
Yes, I would put that in the notes too, Amar. I've typed it into the chat. Because it actually two questions. One is there a way to challenge use? And I think you had mentioned the second question, J. Scott.
Yeah, is there a way for the a challenging registrant to see the proof of use that was submitted?
Okay. Okay.
This is Christine. Can I get in the queue?
Yes. We have Max and then Christine. Maxim, go ahead.
Wonderful for the record. Yes, it's about proof of use. Unfortunately, currently there are no way to revoke the domains, even if something happened to the trademark. For example, company had a trademark, went into TMCA, got registration, and then during Sunrise period they registered domain, and then for some reason they lost trademark. Maybe they went bankrupt or whatsoever. And it's trigger-like mechanisms now. And nothing in the rule says that you cannot lose your trademark, and it doesn't mean that you have to lose the domain. So even if we decide to add something like continuous use method, we will have to in domains, because currently only few TLDs which have some special new TLDs which have special rules, like that which has rules that you have to have content in Catalan language in 1 year. What I say basically is that even if we establish that there were no facts found of the continuous use of that proof, we cannot do anything in the current situation, so we might need to ask GNSLB or something like that. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Maxim. Mary noted in the chat that it's not specifically called out, but the TMCH's dispute resolution policies allow a third party to challenge records accepted into the TMCH. Specific registry Sunrise dispute resolution policies may also have additional provisions about this. So, Mary, perhaps we put in that column to check the policies, that the data we need is whether or not the policies currently have this language. Okay, I'm typing into the chat so people on the phone know. So what I ask is, so we should ask whether the policies current have language about access to proof of use documents. Maxine notes it does not work when the trademark is lost after the end of a particular Sunrise. And we can note that. Let's go to question 17.
Hi, this is Christine. Can I
sure.
stay on the line?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Did I forget to recognize you? If I did, I apologize.
Yes, Yeah, this is Christine. I wanted to just follow up on this topic. Each individual registry operator has their own Sunrise Dispute Policy in addition to the trademark, the policy that the Trademark Clearinghouse has. So I just wanted to circulate. When we do look at this, we, you know, might want to do a sampling. I know that as far as data collection, I know that anyone who's adopted the National Arbitration Forum's sort of standard policy, use is one of the items that's included for Sunrise Disputes. So that is an option that that people who've chosen that route have included. But I do believe that when you want to use the Trademark Clearinghouse's dispute policy, you don't get a copy of the actual proof of use that the trademark holder submitted. I think that's where you sort of almost have to prove a negative. Like, you get the claims notice, and you come back and say, oh, shoot, there's absolutely no way in heck that, you know, somebody could have, you know, gotten this in the clearinghouse properly because there's no way they could have established proof of use. So I think there is a little bit of homework to do there with figuring out sort of how a registrant logistically would go about challenging use. So that's, I guess, not a very concise data collection point, but certainly something to include in the notes, I think.
Right. I had typed in the chat. That maybe what we do is just put that as a suggestion, that we sample policies from individual registries and keep it simple. If more elucidation on that is required, we can do that in the full working group, I think. Okay, I have this great objective of doing the next five in the next 25 minutes, 5 minutes of questions. So let's go for it, folks. Kathy asked in the chat, should we link question 16 and the Sunrise DRP questions below? We certainly could. Kathy, if you want to type that into the chart or suggest that staff make that connection like you did in the first few questions where you and Christine cross-referenced, I think that would be helpful. Do we want to link it or bunch it? We can decide as we go through the questions, too. So let's go next to 17. 17 is, do the RPMs work for registrants and trademark holders in other script languages, and should any of them be further internationalized, such as in terms of service providers, languages served? I would offer that the data point would be, are there RPMs currently offered in other languages? Do we know that there are? That would be my first question. You know, is anybody who's managing an IDN providing RPMs, and if so, how are they working? I think that's a great question. Does anybody else have suggestions?
Lori, this is Kathy.
Kathy? Yeah, I see. Go ahead.
I think it's a great question as well, and Maxim might have some insight on this, or others operating IDNs. What I was going to point out is in the fourth or fifth column, depending on how you count, there's a comment that came out, I think, from the notes a few weeks ago, that this was for general working group review but not specific to Sunrise. And I would recommend we delete that because I think – you know, as you pointed out, it's a great question from the Sunrise perspective when we're talking about languages, IDNs, the ability of everyone to the extent they can to understand and approach the rules. And so I'm going to make the same comment for all the questions going down, is that probably we should delete this, because I'm not sure it was consensus, but the idea that it's not specific to Sunrise, all the next questions that you're trying to guide us through, and so I'll get off the phone so you can do that, all have very clear specifications. Thanks.
Yeah, I would say that too. I would, I think what I would say is, this is where we would put the question. I agree. I think where it says RPMs, what we would want to do is Sunrise. Would that be helpful to the group? Just ask these questions from a Sunrise perspective, does Sunrise work for registry?
Yes.
Does the Sunrise period adequately address the issues? Have there been abuses of Sunrise? That's what we ought to do with these questions.
Yes.
This is Christine. I support that, and I tried to suggest that in my first comment on the current doc is, you know, there needs to be one or two sort of overarching general questions. The charter questions that we sort of start with are very, very specific, and they go to specific features of Sunrise or specific features that registry operators are using, and they don't go to sort of the general, how is it working?
Right. So Christine, I see your point, and I think this was the point that both you and Kathy were trying to make last week. And maybe what we do is for 17 through 21, we substitute Sunrise for wherever RPMs appear, and we suggest that these questions be reordered to be questions 1 through 5. That's what I would do, and then go into all the other questions. I think that would make it much clearer. However, there is question 20, examine the protection of country names and GIs and the general indications of source within the Sunrise. There's been a lot of debate back and forth about GIs. I don't know if we want to put that back into the mix. I'm hesitant to do that. I almost feel like in that box, I would rather put the GI issue has been put to bed. But it is a charter question. It is there. So,
Lori?
I guess, you know, this. Yes, Jay Scott?
Jay Scott, what I would put in the discussion is that we discussed it and we're waiting on the poll result.
Okay.
Because I think the poll is going to specifically ask if this is going to, one of the statements is that this is a closed issue. Do you support or don't support? And there's been an additional bit of confusion because Claudio sent an email around yesterday in which he withdrew his proposal completely. So we got the co-chairs are going to have to figure this out. But I think we mentioned it and we're waiting on a resolution, that should be sufficient.
Okay. And Mary has her hands up. Mary?
Thanks, Lori. And as you note, in this particular question, is it 20? It is a little different. And I guess the question is, how does that fit within the Sunrise piece? And I think from the STEP perspective, this is probably something where, again, the sub-team can recommend to the working group that either alternatively or in addition to looking at it for Sunrise, that this is something that is also of general applicability. And it may also be that, as Jay Scott has noted, that this particular charter question, or at least significant portions of this charter question, may now have been superseded by subsequent developments. Because we do have to remember that these charter questions were not drafted by the GNSO Council as part of the charter. They really were just questions that the community has suggested prior to even the chartering of our working group. And these were put into our charter essentially, well, not essentially, but totally unchanged. So one thing to think about here for this question is whether this has been superseded by subsequent events. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you. I don't have an objection to that. I think that makes sense. I think there's so many issues that have been raised by this vigorous discussion that I would agree. Jay Scott has noted with a green check. I would note with a green check. Does anybody have objections is what I'll ask on the call to this approach. If not, we will accept the approach recommended by staff. I think that makes sense. And then let me look at 22, and then we can go back up to the top and then see what data we think we need for 17 through 22, since it seems like we solved a bigger question with the wording. Is the TMH in the Sunrise period, it should be R, by the way, that's a grammatical thing, are the TMCH in the Sunrise period allowing key domain names to be cherry-picked and removed from UGCLGs unrelated to those of the categories of goods and services of the trademark owner. For example, allowing Windows to be removed from a future dot cleaning by Microsoft. All right, that's a pretty direct question. Kathy, I want to note that Kathy and Christine suggested a rewording, should the sunrise period be re-evaluated for special purpose GTLDs such as GOs and specialized GTLDs to properly balance trademark owners' interests with those of registrants whose use of a second-level domain name is in accordance with the registry operator's plan for the development of the TLD. If so, what changes should be made to the sunrise period? Okay. And Christine notes, special purpose TLD is a sort of catch-all term for TLDs that generally have some sort of restrictions or eligibility criteria. It's not an ICANN term, and we're open to other terminology. I don't have an initial reaction to this. I think it's I think in some ways it front loads the answer, so I'm not sure that I'm trying to think if there's a way to ask this question that would capture, like I said, I'm trying to do yin and yang here, that when we ask a question, it doesn't suppose abuse and it doesn't suppose an absolute trademark right, that we're asking a question that are going to catch both sides, making sure trademark rights are respected and making sure people who shouldn't be blocked are not blocked. I mean, that's how I perceive the balance of the question should be. At blush, this might meet that threshold. I'd like to think about it, but if anybody has a comment on the question, I'm certainly welcome. I see Kathy and then Jay Scott.
Hi, Lori. The examples here might be useful. And in a lot of ways, this question, and I defer to Maxim, but he so patiently put in his comments in table after table, and this is trying to capture some of what at least we thought he was trying to get to. So examples are police.paris, NYPD.NYC or policy.NYC or windows.construction. So something where the traditional use, the generic use, the dictionary use is fits in with the GO plan. But again, I defer to Maxim for more details to see if we captured what he has so patiently been trying to guide us through. Thanks. And we're not trying to front load it, but trying to give examples that are concrete that may help people evaluate it. Thanks.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you, Kathy, for the clarification. That's helpful. And I do get what you're getting at, definitely. But as I said, I just would want a little moment to think about it. Jay Scott?
Yeah, here's a couple things. First, is this a charter question? Because it seems really...
Well, the claim side, on 22, I believe it is. I believe that all of the questions that are in the first column come directly from the charter.
I have an answer to this question. The answer is, hell yes, that happens. We all know it happens. I don't understand why we're asking a question. We know the answer to it. It happens. I've been doing this.
Right, and I would. And aren't there. No, I'm sorry for jumping on you.
The question. I mean,
I think then maybe it's a different question.
Yeah.
Maybe the question's different. Yeah.
I agree.
Maybe. Thank you, Jay Scott.
That question, as it's asked, happens. That question also is worded to bring you to a very emotional and negative feeling about RPMs in general. So, I mean, I'm a litigator. I know how to do that. I know how to get in front of a jury and ask a question that makes them hate the person I'm asking the question to. And that's exactly, this happens. But I think we need to ask a neutral way to get information that, and I think, Laura, your point of trying to make it balanced. So, A, the trademark owner, and I'm not going to say the person claiming trademark rights doesn't get to overreach, but we don't front-end load the question to you already have gotten to a conclusion emotionally about what's happening. And I think, as currently worded, that does happen with this question.
Thank you, Jay Scott. Christine.
Hi, thanks. This is Christine. I'm actually in Adobe now. I just wanted to point out that, you know, obviously the reworded question, I think, actually does take some of the heat out of the original claim question, because I agree, Jay Scott, that question is incredibly volatile. I think when Kathy and I talked about this, we were trying to go with a more neutral approach, and I think it possibly could be even more neutral still, and absolutely we should be looking at that. So what we were trying to get at in our reworded question was this idea of, are there situations in which the Sunrise, forcing Sunrise on a registry operator doesn't make sense, and which is why the examples were included. So to force a registry operator who wants to offer a dot city, for instance, to allocate the word police to the band, to the rock band, because it's a Sunrise registration, rather than to, you know, whatever the legitimate business purpose of that city TLD is, as defined in their publicly posted registration eligibility criteria, so that the public civil branches of government get their specific second-level domains. Like, that's the type of example we were thinking of. So is there a place for saying, hey, maybe there should be a restriction sometimes on Sunrise if the TLD itself is doing so much more to protect or offering some of those domain names to civil agencies? Totally willing to discuss other ways to say it, but I think that's what we were trying to get at, and maybe that helps a little bit, Jay Scott. I'm not sure.
Jay Scott?
It does. It does. And that's the question, I think. That's the better question, and the better way to ask it is, are there certain registries that shouldn't have a mandatory Sunrise? And then we can ask the question of, should those registries be required to take additional actions? Because I will tell you, as a brand owner, when, you know, we had the sponsored TLDs like .pro, and they were vetting the people that were getting the sec-level domains, nobody cared about Sunrise registrations because somebody was checking the bona fides of the people who were getting it and making sure that they actually had rights to it. I think there is a more neutral way to ask the question. I like the way Christine went about it when she was doing the explanation about what they were trying to get to, and I fully support that.
Thank you, Jay Scott. I do too. Mary, I see your hand up.
Yes, and thanks, Lori. So really quickly, because I think events have moved on, it's just to note that this particular question in answer to Jay Scott's original question was a charter question, being basically the same as the others in that there was no editing at all of the community-suggested text. But the other thing is also this was moved to the Sunrise subteam because there was a sense in the claim subteam that even though it originally was categorized under the claims category, that it more properly belonged in the Sunrise category. So given the discussion to date, it does seem that if it can be phrased in a way that is not perceived as not being neutral, then that's probably something that would be helpful. Thanks, Lori.
Hi, thank you, Mary. Amar, I see you say, may I capture an action item for sub-team members? Should we rude?
Hello.
Hello, I'm sorry. Klaus, get the door.
Okay.
Sorry, guys, sorry for yelling. I apologize. Are there certain registries that should not have a mandatory Sunrise based on their published registration? Oh, God.
I like that. I like where you're headed, I like where you're headed, Lori.
Thank you.
Not for the record, I like that approach. I think that encapsulates what I heard, or I understood from my perspective, that Christine and Kathy that's what they were striving for. I think you're getting there, and I think it's a lot more neutral.
Okay, so I would say to Amar, I would put my type suggestion in as a proposed alternative to 22, and then what I'm thinking is if we use my top question and then use Kathy and Christine's example, that should clarify things. Does that make sense to the group? Would the group be in favor of that, using my 22 suggestion and then the examples that Kathy and Christine put in their 22 suggestion? So combining the two ideas. Can I have a show of hands for people who'd be in favor of that? Oh, Kathy, yay. It's a good day. J. Scott agrees. Kathy agrees. I agree. Jeremy has his hand up. I'll call on Christine and then Jeremy.
Hi, this is Christine. I generally agree, but I did not give the green because I do have a little bit of a qualification to make. I generally support the statement as written. However, I want to note that it isn't necessarily all or nothing either, and I think you're going to get that when we bring this to the broader working group, so I don't want to be naive and assume that you know, it's either you offer Sunrise or you don't. I think one of the options to consider here, because really we're talking about, you know, how can we address actual problems? And Maxim has pointed out this problem of the geos. We've heard about people talking about, and another example of Windows duck construction. You know, there may be hybrid options as well. Hybrid options that allow, just throwing this out there, not for substantive debate, but just to prove that there are other choices. A registry could be allowed, based on their policies, to offer an LRP first and offer the domain names to a specific, very clearly defined subset of people, and then as a general broad Sunrise, rather than the other way around. So, I mean, I'm just saying that there are other creative solutions other than just Sunrise on, Sunrise off. That's the only thing I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. I think that's something that we could certainly note, that this is not an all or nothing question. And this could be a welcomed improvement to Sunrise from both sides of this equation, because I can tell you as a former brand owner, anyway, that brand owners don't want to own every name and every TLD forever. That's not what the goal is. The goal is to have a common sense approach to brand protection, bottom line. So if there's a common sense way in the Sunrise period to delineate, it's better for both sides. Okay. So we have 4 minutes left, and I think we've gotten through a lot. I feel like we really made some great progress today. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank everybody for muddling through the clarification.
Hey, Laura.
Yes?
Laura, this is J. Scott. I just, as chair of the overall working group, and I think we have two other co-chairs on the call as well, I just want to encourage this group that let's wrap our work up next week. Okay,
we can do that.
We need to bring to a conclusion, and I think we're at a good point, another 60 minutes. So if you need to do homework, sub-team members, over the next week before this call to make sure you're comfortable, then let's get it done, because we need to bring this to a closure. I just want to interject that.
Okay. Then what I will ask the team to do is homework, aside from looking at all of the generalized questions, is to please, for 17 and 22, in the data box, please put in any data you think we need to get this done, to get the questions answered. If everybody fills in that data box, then we are done, and we just have to review the document. So, Amr, if you could look at the chat carefully, because I put a lot of wording in that chat to help you where the changes need to be in the chart. I was very specific about what I typed, because I know we're speaking quickly, and I think you got cut off for a few minutes. So if you could do that, that would be super helpful. And then the action items, Almer and Mary have been collecting, but I want to add on that list, it is incumbent upon all members of this team to fill in the data box. The one question I would have for the chairs, J. Scott, in terms of wrapping this up, what we haven't done is talk about time. We started talking about time 3 weeks ago, and then we got a little sidetracked. So is the time element still important to the chairs, or
I think I think the best way to streamline that is to allow staff to assist us with the time part of it. because they have a broader view of the overall work plan than this small microcosm, and they can suggest something to the larger worker group, working group, and if people in this group feel like somehow they're getting short, you know, shorted time, they can bring it up at that point. But I think staff, we need to let staff, because they sort of are gritting out the entire work plan, we can rely on them if that's possible to assist us.
Okay, I'm definitely in favor of staff support on that one. Mary, and then Kathy.
Thanks, Lori. And so what everyone is seeing on screen is what was shown to the working group yesterday, which is a suggested updated work plan. And you'll see from there that we did try to make allowance for the fact that this subteam in particular might need some time to complete its work. So, you know, if you look at where we are, I think we did allow for time such that the finalization by the full working group of what charter questions they want to discuss on Sunrise and claims actually is supposed to take place in 2 weeks' time. So this goes to Jay Scott's point about wrapping up next week, because the sooner that this subteam can wrap up, the sooner we can get our final report to the working group for their consideration, and therefore the sooner they can discuss and agree on the final form of the charter questions, which then means that it might allow us, you know, subject to the co-chairs and the working group approving the agenda for Johannesburg, it might allow us to actually start talking about specifics as early as Johannesburg.
Oh, my God, that would be wonderful. Kathy?
Lori, I didn't want the meeting to close without thanking you for your leadership and kind of pushing us through all of this, which is great. I also wanted to make the suggestion that we use track changes, and I know Google Doc has its own variation of it, but that all edits from now on, and I wanted to see what you thought, whether it be staff or members of the working group, be done in suggestion mode, because that kind of highlights itself the way track changes does in Word, and it makes it much easier to scan the document if you can kind of really quickly notice what's changed, comment on that, and move on. So
thank you. I don't mind suggestion mode while we're speaking, but sometimes what can happen is there's so many edits it becomes unreadable. As long as the document remains readable, I don't have any objection to it at all. And I actually think for this last draft that is a good suggestion, that the changes that we've asked Amr and Mary to put into the chart, if those could be done in suggestion mode, then people can see the progress we made from this meeting, and I think that would be meaningful. Jeremy, I see you have a negative bar there. Did you want to say something? That there was like a negative note there? I just want to make sure I'm capturing your concern before we end the call. We're 2 minutes over, but if you have something to say, I certainly would encourage you to say it now. Okay, that might be from another conversation. Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody. As I said, we muddled through last week, and I think we got through this week with flying colors, and I appreciate everybody's diligence, and I'm very much forward to looking to wrapping this up and presenting before the full working group, and hopefully that will be in Joburg. So speak to you soon. You may end the call now.
Thank you so much. Today's meeting has been adjourned. Operator, would you please stop the recordings and disconnect all remaining lines? You too, everyone. Have a good day.